Well, it's Pentecost, and you all look so radiant in your red. We are celebrating the fire of the Holy Spirit with us and in us, a wondrous and infinitely available gift. One memory I have associated with the fire of the Holy Spirit happened at Christ Church Cathedral in Cincinnati, when the service of being ordained as a transitional deacon was about to begin for me. Looking back, I wasn't feeling as grounded and present as I would have liked. I was the only one being ordained. There was a lot of people there. Many people had worked so hard to bring the service together or traveled long distances, and I was excited and nervous and humbled and self-conscious and having a feeling that getting ordained was a little bit surreal, a little imposter syndrome, self-doubt happening. And so the opening hymn began, and I watched from behind as the verger led this big procession in, the thurifer swinging the incense bell, and the cross bearer and the torch bearers and the big cathedral choir and all the visiting clergy began. And as I began moving towards going in with them, the music seemed to turn liquid. There was like a strange sound. Was it just me, or did the organ hit a bad note, or was the choir doing some unusual jarring minor key harmony that I didn't know was happening? But it seemed to get louder, and then all of a sudden the organ stopped, and then the singing awkwardly petered out, and everyone seemed a bit disoriented for a second until it dawned on us that what we were hearing was the cathedral's blaring, piercingly loud fire alarm going off. And there was some hesitant laughter, but then the cathedral staff came rushing in and they were shouting above the din for everyone to evacuate immediately. And so we streamed out onto 4th Street in downtown Cincinnati in our vestments, the bishop in full regalia and all the people in the pews. And once outside, we could already hear multiple fire trucks screaming in. And there was soon a hubbub on the sidewalk, 4 fire engines and police cars and flashing lights and firefighters scurrying around. And though we couldn't see any apparent danger, we had to stay out there and wait to see what would happen. And during this waiting, a joke kind of started up around among the people. And numerous people came over to say to me in various variations of this joke, "Hey, Patricia, have you noticed the fire of the Holy Spirit anywhere?" "Hey, Patricia, the fire of the Holy Spirit is upon you." Eventually, we learned that there was no danger. Someone had just forgotten to flip a switch on the fire alarm to make it not respond to a lot of incense smoke. So after a while, we reassembled and finally went back in again and began again. And actually, I did feel more lighthearted and more grounded and more connected. And that whole disruptive event did spur some spiritual reflection in me, including the question, what does it take to get us to notice that the fire of the Holy Spirit is present? Do we need a blaring fire alarm and a crowd of emergency responders to get jarred out of our half-asleep thoughts like the ones I was having as I stood at the back of the cathedral? The gifts of the fire of the Holy Spirit are with us all the time, right now, right here, burning inside of us. But it's so easy for us to fall into deeply ingrained habitual thoughts, worries, or the dismissive sense that it's not really here in a tangible way. This day is meant to remind us to be open to this tangible presence. And we are called not just to notice it, but as Jesus told the disciples in today's gospel, to receive it into ourselves. Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them, reiterating the breath of life which God created us with. He is inviting them and us to breathe it in, to consciously breathe in the life, the fullness of life that is ours, the life-giving miracle of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples in today's gospel twice, "Peace be with you," not just as a greeting, but explicitly connected to the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our world is largely out of sorts right now, to say the least. Anxious, fearful, despairing, violent, separated from feeling fully alive, struggling to find a sense of peace. It's epidemic. Finding our way to feel the fire and the peace of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing we can do. And it is possible for each one of us to do, to learn to notice within us the force of God, a palpable, empowering energy, and to receive it, and to feel that peace, even and especially in the midst of troubles and pain. It is a peace that cannot be touched by troubles, and a peace that gives us strength and courage and wisdom to do what we are called to do, to stand against injustice and cruelty. We can use our gifts to help heal the world by making it our priority to travel in that peace. To paraphrase 2 Timothy, we were not created with a core spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love, and the capacities to be able to use them, to keep those gifts ablaze boldly in the service of love. That's our home base. That's who we are. That's the offering of the fire illuminating our hearts and souls. We have ideas about peace, but sometimes those very ideas can be the exact thing that keep us from peace. We think, oh, to be at peace, I need to have this happened, or I need these people to approve of me, or this thing needs to be this way for me to have peace, or I need to have this certain possession. That is not what Jesus said. He said, "Peace is with you." The magnificent gifts of the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, wisdom, courage, aliveness with us, is here. Marvels are all around us, everywhere. In the miracle of us breathing and having life, in nature, in the eyes of children, in the simplest kindness, in the tenderness of our hearts, in our tears, and in our longing for our true home of the holy goodness inside of us. We are called to receive the Holy Spirit with consciousness and intention, and we are radically changed in ways we can't imagine by it. It's the most important thing we can do, and it is possible. How do we do this? There are so many ways. Many simple things that we can do are both a practice in guiding us to perceive and receive the Holy Spirit and a fruit of doing so. For example, seeing God in others. Practicing it leads us to know the Holy Spirit, and knowing the Holy Spirit leads us to have the vision of God in one another more clearly. You can just walk around the grocery store or the neighborhood or this church and look at people and say silently to yourself, "You are an expression of God, and I love you." Another practice is being tender towards ourselves. Catch yourself in an insulting self-judgment and say something really kind to yourself, like a good friend would. See if you can take it in and believe it, and send love to the part of you that cannot. Gratitude is another practice toward and fruit of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's always a good time to feel gratitude, and so I'd like to practice some gratitude right now. See what I did there? I'm just switching over. This is my last Sunday sermon with you at St. Paul's. And while I'm grieving in many ways to be leaving, my heart is overflowing with gratitude for all of you. I have been very blessed to spend this time here, and I deeply appreciate it. I thank you all so much for the love and the kindness and the support that you have shown me. I feel blessed by all the laughter I've shared here, all that I have learned, all the beauty here, all the wonderful parish events and fun. I'm so grateful for the privilege of being with you all in difficult times, walking with people during an illness or a deep worry about a family member or the shattering grief of the death of a loved one. Thank you for letting me be there for those sacred times, sharing blessings and being open together in God's loving arms around us. I'm honored. I'll never forget it. I'll always be grateful for every person that I've worked with here in committees, on the vestry, and just along the way. There's so many gifts and talents here, and I've received so much from you. I am grateful to have spent time with so many of you who are warriors of love, warriors, peaceful warriors for justice, working with so much passion and dedication for immigrants, for more justice in our city, for children and families and those who are hungry. You inspire me, and I'm strengthened by you, and I hope more will join you in your work. I thank you for all the sacred shared times of worship and the music and the beautiful voices that lift it up. And I thank you for the sacred shared times of contemplative prayer and the silence and the depth of presence that lift it up. I thank you for all the shared times of learning together in forums and Bible study and events and all that you have taught me. I'm especially grateful for the family and the children here. It has been such an honor to baptize babies. I never fail to cry about it. And all of you children and youth, it has been a joy to watch you blossom. Please always remember the truth of how precious and utterly good you are. I'm grateful for the staff that I've worked with here over these past few years. I have so many treasured memories of laughter and the goodness of each of you and your generosity and how hard you all work. I might not always miss Tuesday afternoon staff meetings, but you know, I was glad for them. I am. I'm just grateful for all the holy goodness and love and faith and the presence of Christ here and for so many thousands of other things unmentioned. I can't mention them all because the ice cream truck would be gone by the time I was finished. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit is alive and blazing here. I'm grateful that today we had one service so I could get here at 9 instead of at 7. I love you all, and I bless you all with so much love in the name of our Creator and in the light and love of Christ and the fire of the Holy Spirit that is with you now and will be forever. Amen.